plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Don't take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. And if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. And when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go onto its streets and say, even the dust of your town will be wiped from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Let's bow for a word of prayer together. Lord, I thank you for your grace, which is new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. As we come to your word, we pray, Heavenly Father, that your spirit would equip every word spoken, so that even in the poor, fallible words of a preacher, the words of life may be found. For Father, we came not to hear thoughts of men. We came to hear the word, your word, broken fresh and new. And so, Heavenly Father, we would ask that your spirit accompany it, so that every thought may be held captive by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For we pray in his name, amen. It's quite a way to get sent out, isn't it? When you go out, don't take nothing with you. And when you go out, don't say hello to anybody. Just go. Because I want you to go expecting. Go. And I'm sending you out like lambs before wolves. Life expectancy isn't very high, is it? Every now and then it's kind of a cheer when the lambs win over the wolves. You know? We don't often think of lambs winning, but we have a great shepherd. So why shouldn't lambs win? When you go out, it's a different way of thinking about how the church in the Americas often think about evangelism. And if you listen to how Jesus is sending out his disciples, it's going to be a contrast. And this morning, I'd like to make sure that we see the contrast. As you go out, as you go, don't stop along the road and talk to folks, but go to a place that looks like it has some needs. Go there and say, can I work for you? Can I help you out? If they say, sure, we need your help, stay there. Don't go to the person who looks like they can take care of you. You know that wonderful story about Elijah? Now, Elijah, he is in a place of hiding and he's being fed by raven. Living in Maine, we have lots of crows, lots of ravens. I'm not sure I would like to eat what they brought me. Saturday is garbage pickup in our neighborhood, and somehow they have mastered that art of slicing open every bag. So while you may have an eclectic gathering of food, Elijah. God sends Elijah down to Sidon because there's a great famine, and he says, I have provided for you. There is a widow here who will take care of your needs. Go stay with her. And he has to identify the woman who's to take care of him. Now, would you, when you go to Sidon, find the woman who is making her last meal out of what little flour and little oil she has, because she's going to take it home and they're going to eat it and die? And you said, Eureka, I found her. I'd be looking for the woman with the cattle on 1,000 hills. Somebody who could feed me well. Not someone who is like that. But what does she do? She takes her last meal and she provides for Elijah. Now, if you can find somebody who's going to give you their last meal, praise God, you found somebody who'll care for you. That was a great test. And sometimes we evaluate people by what they can do for us. And Jesus said, don't evaluate that way. When you go and you make yourself available to them, stay with them. Whether or not you think they can care for you or not, if they say you're welcome here, you're welcome. Which means we have to go back to being old Baptists again. Because old Baptists weren't the best educated folks. We weren't the most well-mannered folks. We were the workers and the working class, and God called us together in some raucous meetings at times to realize that His grace falls upon all of us, from the least to the greatest. And while some people scope out and look for the greatest, because they need Jesus too, we have always looked to the least and the last and the lost. That's who we are. And sometimes I worry about our churches that we've become too respectable to have those people here. And yet those people are created by God and in need of the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And we have been compelled to go and bring them in order that they might be transformed by the Spirit of God, because the truth of the matter is, were it not for God's grace, we wouldn't be as respectable as we are. Right? We are sinners in need of a loving Father's grace, and He provides it. When you're at the house, eat what's ever put before you. Oh, we tell our children that, but we don't expect that. We tell the kids, when you go to your friend's house, whatever they give you, be nice and just eat it. But we don't do that. My daughter, she has a boyfriend now. And she went to his house. And she came home and said to her mother, I don't know how this is going to work. It's a 24-year-old. I don't know how this is going to work. Why? They put peas in macaroni and cheese. They put peas in macaroni and cheese. Hey, that's that family, right? You say, what's the matter with that? Peas. Peas, Dad. Green things. This doesn't belong in macaroni and cheese. Really? And what did you do? I ate it. Why? I like them. I like them. Isn't that the point? That we eat whatever's set before us because we want to be able to say, we're family. We belong together. Whatever you do is a gift of hospitality and grace. I should receive it graciously. I shouldn't say, peas? Really? I should eat and enjoy it and say how much I loved it, or at least let them believe that you did. It's funny, but food is one of those wonderful things that God's given to us, and it's amazing how different the foods are. Dad and I, my dad's with me today. He's a member of the Jackson Street Baptist Church back in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He's come to live, and he's now a Mainer. Yay. And while at Jackson Street, most of our family grew up out of a Welsh and English background. Most of the church families were Welsh and English. And then we had a pastor come, and as that pastor began to minister, suddenly we saw Polish folks coming, and we saw Italian folks coming, and we saw all these different people coming. Now, let me tell you, it was tough getting your tongue around Romanini and some of those kind of names, you know? Because they were never part of the church. But the potluck suppers got so much better. And isn't that what God has called us to in Jesus Christ? In this day and age where we're so concerned about protecting ourselves, Jesus is calling you as lambs and wolves to give yourself away. To not judge somebody else, but to make yourself available and when invited, to be among them. Isn't that what God did in Jesus Christ? Who did not think that God, being equal with God, was something to be grasped, but emptied himself and came and took upon himself the form of a servant and lived among us? That's the whole understanding of incarnational theology, that God left heaven's glory, that he sent his Son, and his Son came and became us, one of us, fully human, fully God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He knows our sins. He was tempted in every way we are, and yet without sin. He experienced hunger. He experienced fullness. He experienced joys. He experienced sorrows. He had friends, and he was left lonely by the very friends he made. He knew the full human experience because he immersed himself in us. If all the experience we know is the folks inside the four walls, we have yet to experience what it means to be incarnational in the world. And God has sent us by our own works and by our own talents and by our own giftedness into a variety of different workplaces, into schools and into factories and into medical professions, into hospitals, all over the place, in order that we might engage incarnationally, that we are the body of Jesus Christ present in that place, so that others might see Christ living in us and come to experience the grace of God. So as you go, whoever allows you to come into their home. You know, hospitality is kind of a funny thing. Hospitality in America means you can come and sit down on the couch with me, but you don't get the channel changer. Because the minute you change the channel, you can go home now. But Christian hospitality means when they come or when we go to their house, whatever they're watching, we take part in and engage in it. The worst thing that ever happened in our home is this. Because now I don't have to engage with the family watches. When we were kids growing up and mom wanted to watch the TV, there were three guys and mom, and she won. And my brother, who was the more smart one, he knew mom. He would get her a blanket when she was on the couch. He'd tuck her in. Because when she fell asleep, the channel changer became ours. But until she did, she was the boss. And we lived with mom, right? She was gracious. Believe me, she was gracious. But every now and then she wanted to watch one of those shows. And so as soon as she said, "We're watching that show," Steve would think, "Where's the blanket? Where's the pillow?" And when she woke up, she'd say, "What happened to the... Oh, you slept right through it." We go among people, and we need to realize we go as beggars. We go as people in need. We go to give the grace of Christ as we received it. For when we were in need, Jesus came to us. Not because we were worthy, but because he so loved us. And if we care about the mission of Jesus Christ, wherever we go in his name. And so we engage in hospitality. We allow them to be hospitable to us. So often in the church we say, we have to be friendly. We have to be greeting. We have to invite them in. We need to go. And wherever we're invited in, we need to be a part of that. We need to eat what's put before us. And then we need, according to this text, to then say, who's sick and who's in need and how can I help heal and be a part of that? What's amazing to me is you run across that person every so often who, for whatever reason, they send you a card on your anniversary. They remember that. Or they send you a card on, your birthday. And you think of all the things you could be doing. Why would you ever just remember me? But isn't that what grace does? Don't we say to folks, what's happening in your life is important to me? Your kid's graduation, I'll be there. Your promotion at work, congratulations. Your birthday, it's important to me. I want to say happy birthday. Just to let people know you care. And in that knowing you care, they may open up the door to show you their hurts and pains. But you don't care about birthdays or anniversaries, kid going to graduation. You rarely get to hear about my marriage breaking up. Very rarely get to hear about my mom's struggle with Alzheimer's or my brother's addiction. We don't usually talk about those things until we know that what we're talking about, we're talking to someone who honestly, genuinely cares, and it's safe for us to talk about those conversations. And so as we go and show hospitality, as we eat what they want, as we live among them and celebrate with them and also sorrow, we get to know who they are. And they become part of our life. So that where you weep, we weep. Where we joy, we joy. We go because God compels us to go. And then the last thing we do is share the good news with them. If you want to know why I'm like I am, it's because of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for me. Now, usually we begin the opposite way. We send people out and we say to them, tell them who Jesus Christ is. Then once you find out what their needs are, try to get plugged in. And then go see them and live with them for a bit. And then offer hospitality. You notice the difference? Sometimes I wonder why we're not doing things well, because maybe we've got it backwards. Maybe we should lead by grace first and allow God's truth to empower us, not to be the driving force. But if we allow grace to be the driving force, in time folks will want to know, why are you like you are? Why did you come into my life? I don't even remember how you got into my life. But I'm so thankful that you did. I'm so thankful that you did. Isn't that the testimony that we want? Aren't those the gifts that God has given to us to exceed in? And so every one of us can be a part of this great missionary endeavor. You don't have to find. You have to just be open. And wherever God opens the door, don't be afraid to step into it. And don't be ashamed by what you find. But rather inhabit there. Allow God's grace to permeate there. Allow God's grace to transform there. And then celebrate the fact that God actually uses folks like you and me to advance his kingdom and transform his world. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wonderful grace of Jesus, which is greater than all our sins. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, that you have called us to go. Help us to learn how to receive hospitality, how to enjoy other people, different people, folks who are different from us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to listen to the stories they tell. Help us, Heavenly Father, not so much wanting to share what we know, but help us, Heavenly Father, to be a people who longs to know so that we have the opportunity in time, by your grace, to share the greatest gift we've ever received. For it was because you loved us and gave yourself to us that we now have this day salvation and a song to sing. Send us out as your people. And so, Heavenly Father, continue to transform this world into the very image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. The deacons this morning have a benevolent offering that is meant to do somewhat of what we talked about. Give opportunity for us to respond in grace to the folks that we come in contact with each day. I'm going to ask the deacons if they would come and receive that offering. Sorry.